On BYUSN, it's the final week of training camp for BYU football. So what's the latest update on the battle for QB1? ESPN's Football Power Index metric now predicts BYU to win 8.7 games.
Whoa.
What does it mean? And why is the FPI so high on the Cougars?
Madich Monday is back as we ramp it up for the college football season. What are his expectations for BYU with a potential true freshman QB? And where are his question marks? And defensive coordinator Jay Hill details what the BYU defense has accomplished in training camp. Could they be as good as last year?
Anything is possible. Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Happy Monday, August 18th. I am Spencer Linton alongside one-time high school hurdler, Jerem Jordan.
I think I went to one track meet and realized, no, I'm not good at this.
Not for me.
I never even tried the hurdles. I was just too intimidated. Have you ever tried to run over the hurdles? Hurdle the hurdles?
Yeah, it takes a unique skill set and preparation and all the footwork. No, I was a high jumper, but I didn't ever associate with the hurdles.
Did you jump higher or were you just a jumper?
I
because to me,
a decent height in high school.
Nice. To me, if you don't jump higher, you're just a jumper.
Okay.
Like if you actually get up, you're a high jumper. In the case of Jovessa DeMooney, he's actually a hurdler. Check this out from Saturday's scrimmage at Lavelle. Whoop! This got the reaction from the offensive. Oh!
I love it.
Amazing. Yeah, look at that. Chase Roberts jumping up and down. Jovessa DeMooney getting everybody hyped with the hurdle in LES. We are that much closer. They have they have one media availability left tomorrow, which we will go to and check out. But they practiced, they scrimmaged Saturday, they went over 120 plays. The ones, the twos, a little bit of three. So they're tightening the screws here. We're getting closer to football season, baby.
Couple of things there. It's just good to see BYU football players back in Lavelle Edwards Stadium.
Yeah, Thursday night was the Cougar Club thing. But they are in the stadium a bunch now, which is cool.
Yes. Secondly, the reactions are almost as good as the athletic feat.
They can't be better.
In that regard, almost as good.
Jovessa trying to be kind of RB4, maybe RB3.
BYU needed 5 running backs last year.
Yeah.
5.
You need a deep room.
He could see the field. Mm-hmm. On that note, rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending.
Let's rally behind Bear and give him 2 full weeks to prepare for Portland State.
It changes a lot and maybe could help elevate BYU.
He is on pace to lead potentially a top 25 team very early in the season.
What's trending? Presented by Tim Daly Nissan, part of the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968. BYU football opening their final week of training camp. BYU and Portland State just 12 days away, Jerem. Mm-hmm. Very exciting. Game number 1. Well, over the weekend, On3's Pete Nakos was the first of multiple publications to report that freshman Bear Bachmeier, and true freshman at that, is expected to be named BYU's starting quarterback. So now that this information is leaking out to members of the national media posted.
I've been saying that.
I know. What do you make of this report? Even though discussing it and expecting it.
Nothing. I've been saying this, that I think he's trending to win it. A week ago we were talking about this. I said, hey, I think it's Bear. So I make nothing of it because I've been saying it on this program.
At this point, it would be a shock if it did not happen that way.
Yeah, I'd be completely shocked.
Like, straight up stunned. It 47, it's the days of 47,
days
as
of
many
47.
Fans have pointed out.
Yeah.
I had a few of you stop me in a restaurant parking lot and say, hey, are we in the days of 47?
Like, and you're like, I'm just trying to put my car back,
looks,
dude. Like,
it can it I just, looks
can
that way.
Yeah, it's the right to bear arms. It's all the puns. Let's go.
So not a lot to make of the report, but the interesting part here is we learned that Aaron Roderick feels that withholding that information is not nearly as advantageous as it was last year when they had Jake Retzlaff and Gary Bohannon competing. And he was pointing out, like, well, it wasn't so much for Southern Illinois, it was for the games after. We don't want to give the opponents after Southern Illinois an opportunity to get to know who the quarterback is going to be. So they held it all the way until game number 1. Now, I'm a little surprised that, because the report's out, that the team hasn't just said, yes, this is the case. But, so for me, the surprising part is, like, that it's gotten to this, and it might even be longer.
Tomorrow's the end of training camp, it's anticipated to be. And then Wednesday is their normal day off, and then Thursday they expect to start on Portland State. I believe by Thursday, when it's Portland State time, that they will have that internally figured out. Are they going to tell everyone else? It sounds like Aaron was like, yeah, I need to talk to Kalani, what he told you. Then we'll just say it. I'd be surprised tomorrow at media availability if we don't hear we have named Bear Bachmeier the starter. Tomorrow, to me, would be the day. I thought it was going to be today, but there's not media availability today. Otherwise, it would have been today. Maybe internally they say it today, and then tomorrow, whatever.
Unless for some reason they
haven't. Just name the guy and let's go.
They haven't made the decision. Like, did they see something last week and over the weekend
that made them
make them hesitate?
It? We'll see. They'll tell us as much tomorrow. I'd be surprised, though. I think if you were McKay, and Trayson had fallen out of this race, unfortunately for him. If you were McKay, you had time, given that you were in spring and summer. You had time to kind of use your expertise to win this race. He did not, but I think he'll be a very capable and good backup should he be needed.
You need it.
Because Jake Fretzoff made it through all last year. That was crazy. That was crazy.
Atypical.
It doesn't happen. So McKay needs to be ready too. And just because you're the starter doesn't mean you're the finisher. We hope that's the case. The finisher of the game, of all the games, of the whole season. You got to be ready, and you probably need two. So both guys need to be ready.
Well, BYU, again, starting a true freshman potentially in game number one for the first time ever, and that has made several members of the national media hesitate on what BYU is capable of in year three of the Big 12, and odds makers putting BYU's over-under at 6.5, but there are some metrics that are looking favorably on BYU, Jeremy.
Yeah, check this out. ESPN's FPI released its final update before the start of the season. We didn't think we were getting an update. We had the information already. They gave an update. Here's what they say, and it's actually favorable for the Cougars right now. FPI ranks BYU 22nd best team in the country.
Whoa.
Second best in the Big 12 behind K-State. 15% chance to win the Big 12, 18% chance
what?
To make the CFP, while predicting 8.7 regular season wins. What do you make of 8.7? Because that's not 6.5.
Let's just go ahead and round up to 9. You're telling me that BYU, according to the FBI, is more expected to win 9 games and a 97.5% chance to be bowl eligible? Hey, I'll take that all day, every day. To make the college football playoff, BYU almost has 1-5 odds.
Is that better than last year?
It might be. It might be better than last year. When BYU started the season like 5-0.
Yeah.
I want to go back and look at those percentages.
As Joey Lawrence once said on Blossom.
Whoa!
Yes. That's 8.7.
Yes. That is way higher than I anticipated.
Yeah, to me, I would, like, the sweet spot to me is 7.5. Do they go 8+, or do they not?
We need to remind everyone, Football Power Index is a mathematical formula. There are no opinions involved in this at all.
Pick 6 previews said, hey, of the... They're like 10 major publications, and they claimed, hey, it was the 4th most inaccurate of the 10 from what they predicted preseason to the end. Do you want to guess who Pick 6 Preview said was number one? Themselves. Can you trust it when they say they're the one? I don't know. But anyway, so take it for what it's worth. But I was surprised that 8.7 feels a little high for me. 6.5 is too low for me.
Yeah. So you have the personal opinion. The odds maker is at 6.5. Mathematical formula at 8.7. True freshman starting quarterback potentially for the first time ever. You regress to the mean at 7.5, like you just pointed out.
That's where I would put the number of, like, are they going to go over that or not?
We're leaning 8-4.
We kind of both said, hey, 8-4. I think, frankly, I would think 7-5 with as much talent as that is on this BYU team, that would be a disappointment.
Okay.
I think 8-4 is like, yeah, you checked, that was a good season. Was it lower than last year? We didn't build on that? Yes. If you go 9-3 with a true freshman, remember the stat we said of 10-plus wins with true freshmen since 2000? Only 4. And Trevor Lawrence.
3 of them played in the national
Hurts,
championship.
Jake Fromm and whoever Jeff Godfrey from UCF is. Those 4 are the 4. It's crazy to win 10. It really is.
Mm.
Like 8 or 9 would be a really nice season for BYU.
So I think the next question is, as we look at the 8.7 projected from ESPN's FPI, is why? Like, what's going into the formula that makes,
I don't know, nerds, tell us what you figured out.
BYU is pacing toward potentially 9 wins. And I can't help but start with how the schedule is laid out. And that BYU, according to most experts, has, if not the easiest Big 12 schedule of any of the 16 teams, one of the easiest. And that includes non-conference and the slate there. We expect BYU to be 5-1 at worst.
At worst.
In the first 6 games.
Come on.
So when
even with the true freshman
when you think about that, and I know the back 6 are loaded, But if you even split the back six to go 3-3, you're 8-4.
That's the formula, is 5-1, 3-3.
Is 8.7 really that much of a stretch when you break down the difficulty or lack thereof in BYU's schedule and how it's being perceived?
Yeah, I just think 7-point something would have been probably this week. 8.7 feels high, bro.
A little bit, yeah.
It really does. But it's pretty
18% chance to make the college football playoff feels high.
Right? What's higher? The 18% or the 8.7? 18%?
Which is more shocking.
The fifth? What? Yeah.
BYU is the second highest rated team in the Big 12, according to FPI. Ahead of Arizona State.
That speaks to the team, like we've talked about.
That's the second thing.
If BYU was quarterback dependent, there's no way you put 8.7 there. Because it's a true freshman. You've never seen him
throw a single pass.
They're
looking at what the defense did last year and how much they bring back.
They're going, I see LJ Martin. I see Chase Roberts. I see three starters on the O-line. I see a bunch of other receivers. I see, you know, Sione Moore. I see that defense. I see that special teams. Two of the best in the country at their position, and Will Farron and Parker Kingston on special teams. Yeah. Why can't they win almost nine games?
Why couldn't BYU be 6-0? Why couldn't they be 6-0 in the first six games?
They can be.
Somebody asked me over the weekend also, a few people actually, having a conversation, where is BYU's first loss most likely to happen?
We discussed that a little bit last week.
We talked a little bit.
Because someone nationally, I can't remember who it was, they said Arizona in game six. Because Colorado, West Virginia, Arizona, you're going to lose one of those three spins. You just probably will, right?
That's how odds just typically stack out.
Yeah. Could they individually and or should they beat all three, given how talented the team is? Yes, but the chances are you lose one of those three.
Which is why we think
5-1. Utah at Iowa State, bye week, thank you. At Texas Tech, TCU, that's a gauntlet of those four. You're hoping to go
2-2 in that?
2-2 is good, because you should beat at Cincinnati, you should beat UCF to close out the regular season. If you go 1-3 spins, you just have to beat Cincinnati and UCF. There's your 3-3 that we talked about.
So if you go 2-2.
You go 2-2.
In the four-game gauntlet.
Now we're talking about a 9-win season.
Then you get to above the 8.7.
Yes.
That is the key.
That four-game set defines whether BYU is actually in the mix in the Big 12 or not.
So we've determined that FPI likes BYU's team element, everything they bring back with the experience and the production there.
Yeah.
And BYU's strength of schedule scenario.
Yes.
Not perceived as one of the toughest schedules in the Big 12.
And it's August 18th. Last year at this time, we were like, oh, the schedule looks really hard. And then it wasn't as hard. And BYU made it look not hard because they beat the teams. You know, that's how this goes.
Our question of the day. General odds maker set BYU football's projected win total at 6.5 wins, as we pointed out. ESPN's FPI predicts BYU to win 8.7 games. Which number is closer to your own expectations for the Cougars in 2025?
Here come the blue goggle takes.
At CSG_BYU. On X, answers definitely ESPN's FPI. With the light start to the season, it seems BYU can get at least 5 or 6 easy wins at the start.
I wouldn't call them.
Not easy.
A lot of those easy.
And then only 3 from there doesn't seem too much to ask for, but maybe that's a little too greedy.
Yeah, I don't know that there are easy wins in a Power 4 league. Like even last year when BYU went down and kind of took it to UCF. UCF kind of scored late a little bit. Like, I wouldn't say that was easy. BYU had to be dialed in to do that. And BYU's not good enough to sort of just show up and win against any Power 4 team right now, to me. There will be a day when they can just kind of maybe show up with the lesser teams and win. It's not this day yet. They have to play great. Or they have to play well. You have to take care of the ball. You have to be able to run. There's not a lot of situations last year where BYU was like, oh, that was easy. Even Houston at the very end. Like, that was a little bit of a struggle. Became a one-score game late. It was kind of weird. Just winning by 1+ in Power 4 games
is
awesome.
Great.
I don't care about margin in Big 12 play. I care about just straight, did you win that game by 1+?
Yes, because those wins and losses are what determine if you're in the conference championship game or not. What can BYU do in one-score games?
Yes. BYU started 4-0. They were 9-0. They lost 2 of the last 3 because they lost one-score games.
Yes.
Arizona State and Kansas. But they were never out of a game. Like, that showed me a lot about that BYU team, too, is when you lose, how do you lose? What was that like? Were you in it? Could you have made plays to it? It's not like you lost by 3 scores and you were blown out and you weren't in the same league as that team. That wasn't the case last year.
And what will a true freshman quarterback, if it comes to that, do in those tight one-score Big 12 games?
Yeah. Hey, palms get sweaty. What happens? Let's go.
At Glib Guy on X answers, with a freshman quarterback, probably the 6.5. They're leaning to the 6.5, knowing that you're breaking in a brand new true freshman at quarterback.
Honestly, it's super fair to the freshman to say that. It's unfair to the rest of the team, though. BYU's too talented to expect, you know, 7 wins. That's why we're both kind of saying, hey, 8+.
Okay. At Super Trentendo, that's a fantastic that's handle, great. On X says, 8-4 is the minimum we, the fans, should expect. Really feel like 10 or 11 wins is in the cards. See if, the stat I mean, we talked about again, about I mean, how many true freshman quarterbacks have led 10-plus win seasons in the last 25 years.
Like, if Bear is just lights out and the defense is good again, special teams, and BYU can run the ball, 9 wins is what I would say. Hey, now we're talking. 10 just feels crazy to me, honestly. But maybe it's like Mr. Pibb and Red Vine, which equals crazy delicious.
You'd have you know that from start, SNL. You would that. Have to start 6-0 if you're going to win 10 games.
Yeah. And then you're going to sputter.
It's like, ooh, can you win? We need 4 of the last 6.
Yeah, 4-2 would be pretty good. But you'd be like, oh, we were undefeated. It'd feel like last year again. Mm. It's like, wait, we were awesome, and then we lost 2 in the back 6.
Weighing on X, Facebook, and Instagram to join the conversation.
Preseason. Let's just play the game and see it, man. The Big Ten had an initial discussion about a potential, wait for this, 24 to 28 team college football playoff idea. Right now, it's just that. It's an idea. It's not
playoffs start on November 1st.
They start in August. How many teams is too many teams for an expanded college football playoff?
Anything over 16, I just can't get on board much? For it. It's 16? Like 16. Great. Nice round number.
Right. Are you speaking from, because I have two perspectives here. One is a BYU fan, and another is just the logic of the thing, right? A college football.
You would have fan. To get rid of conference championship games, and
yes.
Every team plays 8 conference games, yeah, so you're only playing 11 yeah, regular season games.
You have to. Well, you could start a little earlier, but you could normalize, yeah, everyone plays the same amount of conference games, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I think 16 is probably the sweet spot. We'll ask Trevor what he thinks coming up. Trevor Mann.
Yeah, do you really want the 20th best team in America in the college football? Like, do you care
well, Spence,
that much?
Well, isn't that BYU most of the time? Here's why I say, because for BYU to crack the top, and it's not 16, it's actually 15, because you're going to have a G5 team. What if they're outside the top 16?
Right.
Okay. So you have to be inside the top 15. That means you're probably going to need to be 10-2 to ensure you are in.
Yeah.
How many seasons is BYU going to do that in Power 4 League? Hopefully more often. But it's hard. So if you're actually wanting BYU in the college football playoff, you want that expanded to some crazy weird number. 24 feels like a stupid number, by the way.
28 is even worse. I saw the 28-team bracket. Someone did it based on what last year's final college football playoff ratings were. And it was, I think, BYU at number 17. I can't remember who they were playing at number 16, but then the winner got to
South
take
Carolina
on
or
Oregon.
Something, Ole Miss.
Like, okay, it's just, you'd have to start so early. And could the people and the powers that be that really matter in college football get behind a 28-team formula?
Well,
28 teams.
If the Big Ten and SEC want it, and there's not a ton of backlash.
Yeah, would probably. The money from that outweigh the money from conference championship games and the benefits for the conferences in those games?
That's a good question because a lot of times this is about
that's money. What determines it, yeah. Right? Unfortunately, but that is kind of what it comes down to.
If you want BYU in the playoff, you need some crazy expansion. Just saying.
16.
I mean, more consistently. There will be a year where, yes, BYU's in the top 15 and then they make the 16-team playoff. By the way, by December 1st, they have to decide if they're going to expand for next year. It's going to be 12 unless they decide by December 1st that it's going
to
be something.
And Rich Clark also said there's a lot of movement for 14. Like, it's easier to go to 14 than 16, he said.
I'd be okay with, let's get to 14 then.
Just expand
it. Let's go to 16 and just, we're good for now.
Every team plays a first round game. 1-16, 2-15, 3-14, and so on.
Home games, awesome.
Yes.
That's great.
8 home games, great. And then if you win that game, then you're into a big time name.
The traditional New Year's 6 or whatever.
Yes, just take it to 16.
Yep.
All right.
Yep. Women's soccer plays game 2 of the regular season. Remember, big win last Thursday at Minnesota. 10 women on the field. Come on, let's go. Ellie Walbrook and the Cougs at Cal Poly tonight, 9 Eastern on ESPN+.
Let's get to 2-0 after the break. Mattish Monday returns for the 2025 season.
Yeah.
Trevor Mattish of ESPN goes one-on-one with Jerem Jordan to discuss his expectations for the Cougars this season. Is he leaning more towards 8.7 or 6.5? This is BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is sponsored by the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968.
Is one of the highest rated recruits BYU's ever had, man.
Running game has a chance to set the tone for this team. And then, of course, the linebackers are phenomenal.
Let's just see what this guy can do and this team can do.
How could you not be excited about the future for BYU?
Oh, we are excited about the future of BYU.
Very excited.
And we are live in Studio B with your day-to-day BYU sports play-by-play. I am Spencer Linton alongside Jerem Jordan.
Okay, this morning I spoke with our homie, national champion, friend of the program, ESPN's Trevor Maddich, about Bear Bachmeyer, expectations, the Big 12, and, of course, the Big 10s. It's just an idea. The 24-2018 playoff. What's the sweet spot? All of that and more with Trevor Maddich. Trevor Maddich is back on the program. Trevor, you've been with us since the beginning. Thank you for being a huge part of BYU Sports Nation. Here we go. Another college football season, baby.
I can't wait. I appreciate you guys having me on. You guys do a fantastic show. And I love coming on with you guys. Thank you.
You're the guest that most people say, I love when Trevor's on. So that is awesome. Thank you for being great. Let's talk about BYU's situation. Certainly quarterback situation, what's everyone's talking about. Bear Bachmeyer reportedly is going to win this job. I will be shocked if he does not. What do you make of the probability that a true freshman will start game one for the first time in BYU football history?
Yeah, it's kind of weird, right? But we're in this position because the senior quarterback we thought was going to start, Jake Retzlaff, had his situation and he had to transfer out. And so it's they've got to make lemonade out of lemons here. And that's what they've got to do. I mean, having a true freshman, if he is the one that's going to start, Bear Bachmeyer, a freshman, the situation is the playbook. It's how much of the playbook will offensive coordinator Aaron Roderick be able to open up for him if he is the starter, and how quickly will he be able to process that information? Because you can put a freshman in the classroom in front of the whiteboard and ask him questions, and he'll draw up the right decisions on the whiteboard. But during the game, you've got to make those decisions much more quickly, because if you don't, you're going to get hit in the ear hole from the helmet, right? So these are things that they've got to consider and they've got to work around. It's not just knowing what to do. It's also being able to process the information fast enough to actually get it done in a game situation. And that's one thing that we won't know if Bear is the starter until after we see him in live game action.
We will see if he officially wins that job and when and if they announce that. Do your expectations change if BYU does start Bear Bachmeyer versus McKay Hillstead, who has a little more experience in college?
You know what? It would to a degree. Because, again, we talk about the ability to process the information quickly enough, and Hillstead does have more experience. And so that makes a difference. I mean, he's got more knowledge of this offense, but even more than that, he's got more knowledge of opposing defenses. And I think that's a big key, because knowing your own offense is important, but you've got to know the opposing defense and what they're doing and how the coverage matches up with the pass patterns you're throwing at them and different pressures and things like that in order to really maximize your potential as a quarterback. And so, you know, that's the thing that they're going to need to think about. You know, it's one of the things that they're going to need to think about, because Hillstead is a guy that is really fast. He's got a nice arm. He's got experience. And if he were the starter, I think you'd have a better chance of winning early, but I think that down the road, I think the upside is with Bear Bachmeyer. Now, how far down the road is that? Well, I don't know. And the schedule plays out well if they do start Bear as a freshman, because they start with three games that really they should win. If they want to do if they are able to do what they want to do this year, they should win all three of those first games, the non-conference games, Portland State, Stanford, and East Carolina. Although I think Stanford, but especially East Carolina, could be tricky for BYU. But even so, they've got to win those games if they're good enough to compete for the Big 12. And given that there is also a bye week after the Stanford game, the second non-conference game, means that if they do start the freshman, he'll have time to kind of get a little runway, to get out of first gear into second gear, maybe even into third gear, get some game experience against teams that BYU should be able to beat with a bye in there, so that he'll be able to kind of take a breath. And that, I think, improves his ability to perform once they get into conference play, to approach what Hillstead might be able to do. And this is another part of what the coaches need to decide on.
Odds makers have BYU from 6.5 wins to ESPN's FPI coming out over the weekend saying 8.7 wins What's your expectation in the 12-game regular season for BYU at this point?
You know, I think it's somewhere in between. As I look at that schedule, I can see 8 wins there, and then if everything comes together, they could get 10. And the problem is that the Big 12 is just as tricky this year as it was last year. I mean, it's a deep conference with a lot of experienced quarterbacks, and BYU, if they start Bear Bachmeyer, is not going to have an experienced quarterback until he earns his own experience over the course of the first half of the season. And so this is a difficult schedule for BYU to kind of run. And people look at last year and they see them as an 11-2 team. Do keep in mind, though, that the ball bounced their way a few times. I mean, Oklahoma State and Utah, they needed a desperation last-minute drive in order to score the winning points in both of those games. And they made the plays to their credit, but it's not like they blew everybody out last year. And so the 11 wins they earned and they deserved. But I think people shouldn't base this year's projection of wins on what BYU did last year. So I can see them right now kind of with a baseline of 8, and then if things go well and if they stay healthy, they could go up from there.
It's a little tricky because if Jake Retzlaff had returned, we'd be talking about the Big 12 title game. Instead, we're trying to manage expectations. Talking to Trevor Maddich on BYU Sports Nation. Besides quarterback, what questions do you have about this BYU football team walking into the season?
Well, I would say, first of all, cover corner, because they lost a couple of experienced stars off of last year's team when they led the nation with 22 interceptions as a team. And so now all of a sudden they're bringing in guys that are developing. They're guys that are talented, that were highly recruited for the most part, that now need to show that they've developed into quality Big 12 starters. And until they prove that on the field in games, that's still a bit of an unknown. I think that the team likes what they've got there, but I think that it's the kind of a thing that BYU has to believe it when they see it. And then I think edge rusher is going to be a big deal. Last year, they didn't have a lot of dynamic edge rushers. I mean, they had guys that were great effort and just mean, nasty football players that batted a lot of passes, but they didn't get to the quarterback and take him down a lot. They didn't have a lot of sacks. And so the combination of cover corner and edge rusher is something that they'll need to prove that they can do, because if either one of those is not good enough, then they'll give up a lot more passing yards than they did last year.
They were number 3 in pass efficiency defense, which was amazing. You mentioned the interceptions as well. Number 1 in the country. What positions are the most strong for BYU at this point?
Well, I love defensive tackle. Keanu Tautavasa is a shaping up to be a real star coming over from Utah. If you look at the defensive tackle roster, they've got 6 guys that are 300 pounds plus, including a transfer from Oklahoma State who's 340. So they've got a lot of size inside, and that's important because guys like that, hopefully, will be able to push the pile into the quarterback's face and be able to stop the run, which will help everything else that happens outside of them. So that's important. Linebacker, I think this will be one of the best linebacker groups in the Big 12, one of the better linebacker groups in the country. I think Isaiah Glasker and Jack Kelly, both of those guys have a chance to be in the NFL, and they are both so fast and so mobile that I think people think that they're kind of small guys, but they're both around 240 pounds. These are big guys that have that kind of mobility and that kind of explosiveness. Those are the places that I think you have the strength of the team at defensive tackle and at linebacker. And when you're strong up the middle on defense, it is a great start.
Isaiah Glasker has put on 51 pounds since he came to BYU. How much weight did you put on from when you graduated high school to when you were at BYU at your max?
I was 207 pounds out of high school. 207 is a center. I mean, I couldn't play safety at 207, I think, for a lot of high school teams this year. But these days, when I got back from my mission to Mexico, I was 204. So I started at 204. And then I played my junior year. The next year after I got off my mission, I was like 230, 238, and I was 262 my senior year. So, but this was back in the day. You know, nowadays, you know, that's too small to play.
Hey, 58 pounds. That's a lot of PB&J in the middle of the night. That's what we're talking about. ESPN's Trevor Matt.
That's exactly.
BYU Sports Nation. Where does BYU stack up in the Big 12 race preseason, in your opinion?
I think BYU in the preseason, when you look at it now, stacks up as one of probably six or seven teams that has a chance to win this conference. And it all, you know, it all depends on how things go. I mean, they finished tied for the conference lead in the regular season last year, missed the conference championship game because of a tiebreaker. And this year, who's to say who's going to win it? I mean, people are picking Kansas State. I think Arizona State has a really good chance. I think Utah is going to be really, really tough. TCU and Texas Tech are going to be really strong. And so really this comes down to one or two mistakes per game is going to determine who is going to come out of the Big 12. And BYU, with their style of play and their kind of player that they recruit there, has a chance to be very disciplined. And they've got to be, because this conference is not going to come down necessarily to which team's the most talented. I think there's a lot of teams that are talented enough to beat anybody else in the conference. It's going to come down to who makes the fewest mistakes. Now, for BYU, it's also going to depend on how the quarterback position develops, especially if it's Bear Bachmeier, because the Big 12 right now probably has six quarterbacks that can be drafted. You know, you've got guys at Arizona State, Iowa State, Kansas State, Arizona, Kansas. You've got a lot of really good, Baylor, for goodness sake, Texas Tech, TCU. These are all quarterbacks that are likely to have a chance to play in the NFL. And guys with experience, and if BYU comes in with a freshman, then that's the place that they've got to compensate for early. And keep in mind that what Bear will have to do if he is the starter is take what's there and don't try to be a hero. He's got to not try to show everybody how great he is. He just needs to take what the defense gives him, protect the ball, and let the defense and the running game win.
It's about to be days of 47 up in here, which is a funny number. He wears 47, by the way, because he played middle linebacker and running back until about eighth, ninth grade. And so it's a weird number, but it's what he wears. Let's finish with this. The Big Ten had this idea, just an idea at this point, that they want maybe a 24 or 28 team playoff, which is pretty interesting. My question isn't whether that's a good thing or not. What's the sweet spot with expansion? Because it's at 12. They have to decide by December 1st what they're doing in 26. What number do you want in the college football playoff?
I think 12 is the perfect number. And I think they should start the playoffs sooner than they do now so that the season ends sooner. Right now, the championship game is late January, for goodness sake. And we saw the backup quarterback for Penn State transfer out during the playoff season last year because he had to in order to get to his new school and enroll in time to affect that transfer. And so if their starting quarterback, Drew Aller, Penn State now, had gotten injured during the playoff, their backup was gone. And so there's got to be a better balance between when the season ends and when the transfer portal opens. And if you expand the playoff, if you go to 16, then you're still having the same number of weeks. You're just adding a couple more games in the first week. If you go beyond that, now you're adding weeks to the season. And I don't know how you do that because the season's already starting in August. The first games are August 23rd coming up this weekend. And then, you know, the last game is going to be the end of January. And so that's just too many games. And I don't know how you would manage having more than 16 without either starting mid-August or extending the season even farther. And I don't think that's good for college football.
I would love mid-August just because I want football back. Let's go. I can't wait for week zero. Excited to watch all your coverage on ESPN. And we of course, appreciate the time coming on BYU Sports Nation. Thanks, Triff.
Thank you.
Oh, it feels right. Matt, it's Monday's back.
I know, right? He said 12. You said 16. It's a question of whether you want BYU consistently in an expanded playoff or not. If you say college football starts earlier and it ends earlier, I'm on board for that. I know Trev said, yeah, it's probably not going to happen. And there's a lot of moving pieces. When it's professional sports, they can move as one pretty easy, but it's basically four entities, two of which think they're running the show, and they kind of are, two others, and then kind of one big group of other people in group of six. So it's hard to sort of get something going. We saw the pushback this summer on auto bids more for the SEC and Big Ten, and everyone was like, nope. And they're like, okay, just kidding. That was interesting.
Well,
so
2018
I'm interested
playoff
what happened.
Would, speaking of auto bids, the 2018 playoff would give the SEC seven auto bids,
yeah.
The Big Ten seven, the Big 12 five, the ACC five, and then four for the group of six.
I think the Big 12 would still be the, nope, you got to earn it on the field kind of vibe, which they did. But if you're telling me, hey, if BYU is a top 25 team, boom, they're in the playoff, that's pretty interesting to me. I love more college football. I think most of us would. But there is a point of diminishing returns. Where is that line?
But if you have so many auto bids, like you could still be a top 25 team and you lose out to the 6th and 7th best SEC team.
True. Yeah. So now it's not that. It's just auto. Yeah.
It's just weird.
Yeah, you're right. There's more nuance there.
That's why I'm like, just give me the 16 best teams.
And AKA 15 plus group.
If you're going to make it bigger than, like, you can't go more than 20. I'm not a big proponent of a lot of buys. Like, if you want to reward the top four teams, fine. But nothing more than that. You go to 20. But 20 is, like, the max I could envision happening. It's like, okay, nope.
It is just an idea. The Big Ten's not saying we're doing this.
Yeah.
It's not down the road at all. It was literally brought up in a meeting. And then someone leaked it. That's the kind of leak that should not happen. It shouldn't get out of the meeting. Okay, join Dave McCann, Blaine Fowler, David Nixon on After Further Review tomorrow night, 7 Eastern on the BYU TV app as they break down some player profiles, some of the top Cougars like Jack Kelly and Keanu Tanevasa. They call Jack Kelly Jelly, by the way.
Let's go. When we come back, how did several former Cougars perform in the NFL preseason? Is it Zach Wilson time in Miami? And which incoming freshman made history over the weekend for BYU? This is BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan. And it's time for Monday Headlines.
BYU football enters the final week of training camp. The team expects to end camp Tuesday, turn their attention to Portland State, perhaps on Thursday. Multiple sources have reported BYU could name Bear Bachmeyer as the starter for week one. We await the official word on that. We've been talking about that quite a bit for a while. We will keep you updated with all the storylines here on the show and on our YouTube channel.
ESPN's Football Power Index released their final update before the start of the college football season last Friday, and the formula seems to like BYU. Cougars check in at number 22 overall, listed as the second best team in the Big 12 behind only Kansas State. The index predicts 8.7 regular season wins. Then there's this. FPI gives the Cougars a 15% chance to win the Big 12 and an 18% chance to make the college football playoff.
Okay. BYU was well represented over the weekend in the NFL preseason. Zach Wilson, 15 for 23, 151 yards, touchdown against the Lions, looked good. Keaton Slovis, 5 for 12, 51 yards, had a nice rollout run with the Texans against Brady Christensen and the Panthers. Tyler Batty recorded 2 tackles for the Vikings yesterday. And tonight, Ryan Rico and Caleb Etienne play for the Bengals, taking on the Commanders.
Let's go. BYU women's soccer back to work after winning their 8th straight season opener and a gutty road win at number 24 Minnesota. Who needs 11 players? The Cougars can improve to 2-0 tonight, again on the road, at Cal Poly. Watch the game, 9 Eastern on ESPN+.
BYU alum Kenneth Rux took 3rd in the men's steeplechase at the North America, Central America, and Caribbean Athletics Association, the NACAC Championship, on Sunday evening with a time of 8:26.52. And recent BYU graduate Megan Hunter took 5th in the women's 800, 2 minutes, 0.67. Her 3rd best time of the season. Congrats.
Incoming BYU golf freshman Kihei Akina shot a 3-day total of 17 under par to win the 99th Utah Open at Riverside Country Club on Sunday. That makes Akina the youngest player ever to win the Utah Open.
Nice.
The 18? 19?
I think he's 19.
Sheesh. Yeah. He's currently ranked 69th in the amateur golf standings worldwide.
That's incredible.
After the break, BYU defensive coordinator Jay Hill discusses why he's so confident in the 2025 defense and his number one concern still remaining before the Cougars face off with Portland State. This is BYU Sports Nation. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We are live in Studio B. He is Jerem. I am Spencer. And last Friday, I had a chance to speak with BYU defensive coordinator Jay Hill to figure out why he enjoys coaching the defense so much. You see a smile on his face during this interview. And yet he still has one pressing concern about the defense before BYU faces Portland State. He answers that question and more one-on-one with Jay Hill.
Jay, you're roughly 2 weeks away from game number one. So compared to where you hoped your team would be at this point and where you actually are, how close are those things?
I think we're in a good spot right now, and I think we're pretty close to where I'd hoped we'd be. The veteran guys that have played a lot for us are playing well right now. I think we've made progress in adding depth in a lot of the position groups, which is good. I've seen some young guys step up, so I think we're in a good spot right now.
From a position group standpoint, let's just go group by group, and you tell me where you feel like these groups are doing the best things and where they still need to work on. Let's start with your secondary, which is very deep, at least on paper, from what it seems.
Well, I think there's five guys that have proven we can win with them right now. I like the progress of Jaron Kalama to add into that those five guys. So with those six, I think we're in a really good spot. Those guys, it seems like every day one of them's really standing out or making a bunch of plays, and the next day will be someone else. So I like where that group's at. And then the corner group, Evan Johnson's really emerged as of late. Maury Bamba's had his moments where he just looks like an elite Big 12 corner, and same with Trey Alexander. So those three guys have kind of separated themselves from the pack. And then Jonathan Cabello, we need him to step up in that nickel spot.
The safeties are a very experienced group. Tanner Wall is a guy who grades out very highly in most practices and games. So along with Tanner, if you had to start a couple of safeties in game number one, who would be the guys today?
Well, I don't know if that's fair, because I think what you would see if it was today, I think you'd see Prassis playing a lot of nickel. Mm. Tanner Wall playing the safety spot with Raider and Folatau, those three guys rotating the most. And then, again, Talon Alfrey's had a great camp, so I don't have any problem throwing any of those guys in right now.
All right, now to the linebacker core. When you're observing the veterans like Isaiah Glasker and Jack Kelly, we know very well what they can do, but maybe specifically with Ciale Acera, what are you seeing from his emergence in the middle spot?
Well, I like his speed and physicality. Everyone knows that. His ability to continue to learn the defense and get more comfortable in there is going to be critical, and him and Che are really battling it out right there, and you'll see both those guys play a lot. And again, I think for those guys, it's going to be just comfort of the whole entire defensive package.
And on the defensive front, Keanu Tanuvasa has garnered a lot of the attention. We understand why. But even Keanu says, look, there are some studs around me. So what are you seeing from the guys around Keanu on the defensive front?
Well, I think JT's had a great camp so far. He looks really good.
And that's John Tamalpeo.
Yes, John Tamalpeo, and then Anisi Purcell has done some great things. I really like the way he can rush the passer. And then the defensive end group is deep right now. So I like the front. I like where we're getting with them. There's some young, inexperienced guys, but those guys are super talented. And then we get Kirkland back in the mix, and we really cement and solidify just our beef and physicality in there.
What can you tell us about Justin Kirkland and the potential of him being fully involved with BYU and when that could happen?
Well, soon. I think he's coming back. He just dinged up his knee in the summer. It's something we fully suspect that he'll be back soon. And when that is, just when the knee allows him to get back.
LJ Martin told me the other day that he, quote, hates going against the defense in practice. Sometimes he said it feels like a different defense every day in a way. So what do you attribute that to, you know, some tongue-in-cheek humor there, but to making it tough on your offense?
Well, and I think that that's what we want people saying. We have a big enough package that we can throw different angles and options at them every day. We can change the front. We can change the coverages. We can change the blitzes. And we do that. We try to own our base stuff, but at the same time, I want them to see different things. I want the quarterback confused as to what he thinks is coming versus what really comes. And, you know, that's kind of the purpose in how we build this defense. It's sound. There's not a call in there that I'd say we chuck in there and just hope that good things happen. Everything's sound, but we do have a lot. And I think that's what LJ's talking about, is just there's a lot that can come at him.
You seem to be enjoying this current defensive team. What's the most enjoyable facet of it?
Well, they try hard. You know, yesterday I didn't love the practice, and I got after them pretty good this morning, and they responded with a really great practice today. So they're trying like crazy to do what we're asking them to do. They're tough. They have a lot of care and a lot of want. If they got that, we're going to be fine. We just got to keep it throughout the season.
What do you feel like needs to happen over the next 2 weeks to be fully prepared for game number one against Portland State, at least on the defensive side of the ball?
Well, we got to continue to develop depth, and we got to continue to get better ownership of assignments and techniques. If we do that, we'll be fine.
Do you have any glaring concerns at this juncture specifically?
Yeah, we need a fifth corner to step up. That would be something big, fifth or sixth corner. And then, you know, a fourth or fifth D tackle to really step up until we get Kirkland back.
And we'll finish with this. You have a unique perspective on what the BYU offense is trying to do in this quarterback battle because you're defending against it. What makes you feel like BYU's offense, regardless of who starts at quarterback, will be productive when they're facing a really good defense day in and day out?
Our offensive staff. I trust those guys. I trust Coach Roderick with everything. I mean, he does a great job of getting those guys ready to play. We'll be ready to go. Him and Matt Mitchell, they know quarterback play. Those guys will have them ready to go.
Okay, and then the final question here is, tomorrow's the last Saturday without college football for a very long time.
Yeah.
I know you got 2 weeks till your game, but college football in general starts in week zero, a week from Saturday. So what are you going to do after practice, the scrimmage, with your final Saturday before college football season officially begins?
Tomorrow? Oh, I don't know. Hang out with family and just catch my breath a little bit. We do have a practice and a very important scrimmage tomorrow, and then we'll spend some family time.
Okay. I hope it involves some good food, Jay.
For sure. It involves a lot of fun. So,
yeah. Thanks for the time.
Thank you.
Listen, he's business mode, Jerem. He's ready to go.
He's dialed in, man.
Jay's, he is absolutely
He had lunch plans at the end. No, he gave you some good information. And this BYU defense, do we believe that they can be as good as last year? The answer is yes. The defensive numbers last year were outstanding. Points, yards, opponent first downs, takeaways, interceptions, all in the Big 12, first or second. Like, amazing numbers, Spence. They were unbelievable.
First in the country in interceptions.
Amazing.
Not just the Big 12.
Let's talk about, so I don't expect them to sort of, okay, are they going to do 19.6 points per game again? They could. The interceptions and the takeaways were outstanding. I'm hoping they can approximate that. Like, if they have 18 picks and 24
like
takeaways.
Like, get close to those
numbers. Yeah. If they exceed it, holy cow. The places where they need to focus, and we have heard from Jay Hill on some of this.
He just spoke on it.
So, four things I looked at statistically. So, third down defense, 85th in the country. Certainly can do better on first and second down. He said, we got to stop the run better to set ourselves up for third down. Rush success rate can be better, okay? 87th. TFL sacks, that's certainly a place where BYU was not that good.
Didn't matter really though because they had so many takeaways.
I would argue on the play that maybe you got a sack, you picked off a pass. So sometimes you don't get to the quarterback, but you put on some pressure.
The chaos.
Because there was a lot of, I would argue there was a lot of pressure.
Yes.
That's a different quantifiable here, not on the screen.
What's the disruption stat?
But if you can maintain the takeaways, points, yards, pass efficiency, third in the country, minimal penalties, not allowing a lot of chunk plays, they did a lot of great things. I think they can approximate what they did last year. I think they can be as good as last year.
BYU might not have the number one overall defense in the Big 12 again, but I think that we're consensus they'll be top three.
If they're top three, that gives a true freshman quarterback, should he be the starter, a lot of opportunity.
You'll be in every game again.
Games.
You'll be in every game
You'll
again.
You'll have a chance. If you miss any of our interviews, like the one you just saw from Jay Hill, from fall camp, training camp, BYU football coaches, players, find them anytime, on demand, on the BYU Sports Nation YouTube channel.
After the break, we wrap up the show and hear more of your reactions to ESPN's Football Power Index 8.7 win projection for BYU in 2025. Is it a blue-goggled mathematical formula? This is BYU Sports Nation.
Ah!
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation with our question of the day, which is, general odds makers set BYU football's projected win total at 6.5 wins. We've learned that ESPN's Football Power Index says BYU is going to win 8.7 games. That's a big difference. So which number is closer to your expectations for BYU in 2025? Our elite voice of the day, presented by PAX, Healthcare Careers Built for Victory, comes in from Jacob Ford 3 on Instagram, who says, FPI seems hopeful, but closer. Is that a fair statement? Hopeful, but closer?
It's interesting.
Today's Rise and Shoutout presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Kihei Akina, incoming freshman on the BYU golf team, won the 99th Utah Open. Youngest player ever to win it, shot 17 under.
19 years young. Our thanks to today's guests, Trevor Maddich of ESPN and BYU football defensive coordinator Jay Hill.
Sorry to Dennis, we ran out of time.
For Jeremiah Spencer, shout out to Jason Munns, QB Power. See you tomorrow in Studio B. Go Cougs.